Excellent, excellent song. What a blessing that is. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And as Rob just sang about, the whole idea is come and see Jesus. Amen. Amen. I was thinking, a lot of soul winning gone on this week, and a lot of people talked to and thinking about soul winning stories. And as Rob was singing, I was thinking about all the folks I've talked to about, the Lord's coming back. He's coming soon. And often people say, well, I might think about getting saved when he comes. When I see him, when I see that all happen, when the rapture takes, I'll decide then. And they want to put it off. And, of course, the Bible says that God will send a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. But I think about that, and I think, we as Christians, and many folks here are saved. We've already trusted Christ. And we say how foolish that is for them. But I was thinking while Rob was singing how foolish it is that so many Christians are waiting to see him when he comes, and you don't have anything going on with him now. How sad that is. And I went immediately to John 15 in my mind, abide with me and I'll abide with you. And I thought about how many Christians are just saying, oh, I just can't wait to see him. And I understand all that. But why aren't you walking with him today? Why aren't you having a relationship with him now? Why aren't you praying before church? God, please speak to my heart. Draw me closer to you. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord. And so the message today obviously is a passage that is a challenge to lost people to get saved, but it is also a challenge for Christians to get a relationship with the Lord. And so I hope that God will use it that way in our lives. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, it is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I would ask you, Lord, to cut our excuses today. If there's someone here not saved, that today would be the day they'd get saved, that no excuse would remain with them, but they would trust Christ as their Savior. I pray for Christians, Lord, that we would also realize that the Jesus that saved us is the Jesus who wants to walk with us every day and wants to bless us. And Lord, that wants our lives to be changed and wants our lives to be different. So I pray you'll speak to our hearts as well. And just use the message in our lives, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled the message this morning, Where to Shop, though I'll have to admit shopping is really, really out of my element. I am not a shopper. I'm a go and buyer. How many of you know the difference between the two? Okay, a shopper is somebody that'll spend all day at a store. I'm the guy that knows what I want, and I walk in and I buy it, all right? And I don't even like to do much of that. I'm the guy that'll say to my wife, because she likes to shop, I'll say, here's what I need. And I'll send her, and she'll go shop and find the best deal and spend a whole day to save a penny. But which is good. I mean, that's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I appreciate her so much for that. But thank you. But shopping and stores and all that is definitely out of my comfort zone. In fact, recently I don't remember what we were buying, but it was at Walmart. And I don't know where everything is. I mean, some people, they know where all the aisles, what each one means, and all the little doodads that are in there, and I don't have a clue. I don't know where the big doodads are, let alone the little ones. And anyway, so we got what we needed, and again, I was there, so we got what we needed, and we got in line to pay. And anyway, we're in line, and I had a check, and I got out the check, and the person said, oh, you don't need to fill that out. I said, do you want me to pay or not? I mean, I'm thinking, ding, I won. I don't need to fill it out. Yes, all right, free today. But, I'm trying to, well, what do you mean I don't need to fill? Oh, no, you don't need. And Brenda said, honey, we don't fill out checks anymore. I said, we don't? No. I said, what do they do, just read our minds or what? But anyway, they took the check and they did all their little doohickeyses with it and everything and just gave it back, It's like, hey, this works real well. We'll do this more often. But anyway, they still took it out of the account. But I say all that, I just don't shop a whole lot, don't know much about it. But I do know a good deal when I see a good deal. And this right here is a good deal. All right, I mean, this is talking about a good deal. He says, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. He that hath no money, hallelujah. He that hath no money, I like that. And he says, come buy and eat. And I really like that. Wait a minute, no money, buy and eat? I mean, what part of that is not a good deal? Amen. And he says that you can buy wine and milk without money and without price. No price tag, just come and get it. In other words, amen. Sounds like a song we sing, come and dine. The master calleth, come and dine. He said, it's here. I mean, it's here for you. So you know, when you think about prices, when you think about amounts and you calculate, you get all your flyers in the paper today and all the deals that they're having, you know, 20% off, 10% off and all that kind of stuff. You don't even have to try to figure out which store to go to when they say everything's free. I mean, you don't have to even pray about that. I'm just going to go. I mean, that is a good deal. So I know a good deal, though I'm not a shopper. I know a good deal when I see one. And right here in Isaiah 55 is the very best deal in all the world. Last week I talked about those who disobey the gospel. And the gospel means good news. And that is the good news about our salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here we're going to learn, okay, how can I find that out? And where can we shop to get it? Where is the best place to find peace and satisfaction? Well, right here looks like a pretty good place. Right here looks like a pretty good thing. Because everything, he says, if you thirst, you come to the waters. If you're hungry, you can eat. And there's no cost. I don't find a better deal in all the world than that right there. Where to shop? Number one, we see a common need. A common need. And here in verse 1, we see that the need here is bread and water. Bread and water. Everybody needs bread. Everybody needs water. We need to eat and we need to drink. So when you're looking in life for a need that you have, understand this. Everybody needs bread. Everybody needs water. There's a lot of things we can live without. Believe it or not, you could live without a cell phone. I know you'd have a hard time. Believe it or not, you could live without a car. I know it'd be tough. Believe it or not, there are many, many things that we have in our possession we can live without. But I promise you this, you've got to have bread and you've got to have water. And God makes it very, very clear here that that is offered by Him. Bread and water. And Jesus said in John 6, verse 48, I am the bread of life. So right away I find out one of my greatest needs something I cannot live without, are you listening, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the bread of life. And we need bread. He said in John 4, verse 14, he said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And we find out that Jesus is not only the bread, but he's also the living water that we need. We have to have. Well, it's a common need. Everybody needs these things. Everybody needs Jesus. It's interesting in verse 1, it says, everyone that thirsteth. Now, you may not be thirsty now, but you'll get thirsty. Somewhere along the line, you're going to need that water. You may not be hungry now, but chances are real good you are, unless you're in Tim Cook's class. They eat lots and lots of food. I mean, when the Bible talks about let your soul delight itself in fatness, that ought to be their motto. But they ate so much today that he was teaching all the way through choir warm up, and the choir was lining up, getting ready to come. We thought we were going to start church without his class because they were still wiping cinnamon off their. Anyway, but the common need, no, I want to be kind and loving, but the common need of everybody's bread and water, and you know what? Everybody needs the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing at the fair to tell people and even to listen in, and I listened in at Kathy a few times and listened in to a few other folks that were talking to folks, but I always love it when we come to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And I know, you know, teenagers don't go to church. Here's a guy that's never been to church in his life told me, yeah, we don't know anything about church. But I say, read this verse for me. And a young man looks at it and he says, for whosoever shall call upon. I said, wait a minute, stop there. What's whosoever mean? He said, well, dude, anyone. I said, isn't that good? Anyone. I say, who's a whosoever? Another guy looks at it and says, well, dude, me. I said, isn't that good? That's anybody. anybody. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And all you have to do here, the Bible says, is it's someone that's thirsty. Amen. Whosoever, everyone that thirsteth. Wow, that's everybody in the world. I'll go through and I'll say, you know, it doesn't matter how tall you are, doesn't matter how short you are, doesn't matter how skinny you are, doesn't matter how big you are, doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter how good you are, doesn't even matter how bad you are, doesn't matter who your parents are, doesn't matter if they came over, your relatives came over on the Mayflower, or if they came over on a slave ship, doesn't matter how much money you make, doesn't matter how you got to the fair, doesn't matter who paid your way to the fair, doesn't matter where you work, doesn't matter where you were born, doesn't matter where you're from, doesn't matter what your name is, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter if you've been in jail, doesn't matter if you just got out of the hospital, it does not matter. It's anybody. And I'm looking at them, they look at me, and it's kind of like, you mean me? I said, yeah, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Shall be. What qualifies me? Thirst. That's what the Bible says. It says, everyone that thirsteth. You know what soul winning is? Soul winning is just showing them that they're thirsty. That's all. And then showing them who's the water. Amen. It's showing them they're hungry. You need to understand something. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I talked about that last week, and I'm getting back on that. But listen to me. Here's what you have to do. You have to come hungry. You have to come thirsty. And you have to show them that they're hungry. You have to show them that they're thirsty. Hey, have you ever sinned? Had a teenage girl look at me. And I said, I had a boy here and had a girl over here. And I said, do you know what sin is? And the boy says, yeah, it's bad things you do. I said, okay, good. Good, you understand. I said, have you ever sinned? He said, oh, yeah, I've sinned a lot. I looked at the girl and said, have you ever sinned? She goes, no. I said, you just did. But you know what? The whole idea is just to show people, hey, listen to me. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. He is the bread. He is the water. He is the one that can meet every need that you have. But I say that to a lost person, and we say, woohoo, that's good. That's wonderful. I hope they'll get saved. But let me say to you today as a Christian, you need Him. You need Him too. You know, the Bible says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And I'm telling you today, the only reason you'll walk out of here without being closer to Jesus is because you're not hungry and you're not thirsty. I beg you, just like I begged lost people this week, as Kathy begged lost people, as others begged lost people, won't you understand you need Jesus? I beg Christians today, you need Jesus day in, day out, every day, all the time in your life. And He's available. Everyone that thirsteth. Everyone that thirsteth. I'm not talking about getting saved over and over again. I'm talking about walking with Him. I'm talking about leaning on Him. I'm talking about talking to Him. I'm talking about having a relationship with Him. I'm talking about abiding in Jesus Christ so that you can bear fruit in your life. Everyone. All you need to do is be hungry. All you need to be is thirsty. And the Bible says, you shall. You shall be filled. You know why your life as a Christian is not what you think it ought to be? You know why you're not happy? You know why you don't have the joy of the Lord? And that is your strength? Because you're not hungry and you're not thirsty for the things of God. It's a common need, bread and water. It's not just for lost people. It is every bit for Christians as well. Let's not get the idea, well, I'm saved, I trusted Christ, I got baptized, everything's okay. Everything's not okay. You need Him every day, all the time, in your life. We need Him. Every one of us needs Him. And by the way, if we ever get to the place where we think we don't need Him, He is very able to put us in a position where we know we do need Him. Number one is a common need. Number two, we see a confusing act. This is amazing to me. I remember the first time I read this passage, it amazed me. He says this, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Okay, what do you need? Bread. Okay, then why did you buy new tires? Well, because I need bread. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Well, I really need water. And I'll work for you if you'll give me a new light bulb. Great. Wow. Yeah. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why do you work for that which satisfies not? He says, hearken diligently unto me and eat ye that which is good. And let your soul delight itself in fatness. Confusing acts, spending for that which is not bread. Needing bread and water and going to places where there is no bread and water. What do you mean, preacher? Well, a good example. You need a T-bone steak. And maybe a T-bone steak and you'll have as the before steak, you'll have a sirloin steak. And maybe chicken wings on the side. You say, boy, I've got to have some steak. I've got to have some vegetables. We'll throw those in there. I got to get some food in this house. I really do. And so you decide to take all your money and go to Lowe's. That does sound like something a man might do. that's like people that need, you know, I'm just searching for something. And I got news for you. God put it in every person. I don't care who it is. God put a consciousness that he needs God. I don't care who it is. You say, oh, no. I got a neighbor that just cusses and swears every time I talk about God. Oh, yeah. And they hate God. They want nothing. Let me tell you something. Every human being has within, we're made in God's image. And I don't care who it is. It may be a loved one. You say, I've given up. But don't give up, because within every human being is a need for God. But the thing is, they'll go everywhere where God's not available. And that's what the Bible's talking about here. Why do you go through all this trouble? They'll go to drugs, for example, to try to fill that need. And drugs can't meet that need. They'll go to alcohol to try to fill that need. They'll go partying to try to fill that need. They'll get involved in pornography and immorality to try to fill that need. But the truth of the matter is, they are doing exactly what it says. They're spending money for that which is not bread. They're looking for steak in the electrical department at Lowe's. They're looking for a can of beans in the plumbing department. That's kind of funny if you really think about it. Oh, I get criticized for that. It's foolish for people to look past Jesus for salvation when he's the bread. It's foolish for people to look past Jesus for salvation when he's the water. It's foolish. And yet, that's exactly what happens. Some look to works. Some look to becoming a church member. Some look to getting some sort of a religious certificate of some kind. But that's not bread. He's bread. He's the bread. Some look to the church. But listen, again, the church is just a store that gives out the truth. That's what we need to be. Amen. That's what we are supposed to be. A store with the truth and willing to preach the truth no matter how mad somebody might get at the truth. By the way, and I'm going to just throw this in because, you know, I can. But you know, if you want entertainment, go to Disney or something. Okay, church isn't that. Look, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to give out bread and water. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the church. Okay, we're not an entertainment place. Now, we have some entertaining things that go on and some things that are absolutely amazing. And honestly, it is, but that's not our purpose. Are you listening? Amen. Okay, today we have a whole lot of stores, or should I say churches or stores, as I'm talking about it here, who their number one thing, well, we got to entertain the people. No. Your number one thing is get people the bread and the water. Because that's what the people need, is the bread and the water. That is everybody's need. That's for everyone who thirsts. That's for everyone who's hungry. And we need to give out that truth, which is the bread and which is the water. You want entertainment? Somewhere where there's entertainment. You want amusement? Go to Cedar Point. You know, yeah, I can tell you're excited about that. But don't, you know, we're not going to have any roller coasters here in the church. Okay, go to the putt-putt golf place or something if you want amusement. And go to the fair, but that's over and all the rides are gone. But, you know, that's not what we're all about. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give out the bread and the water. Amen? It's like, listen. You go to the hospital to get fixed, amen? I mean, whatever's broken, let's get it fixed. That's why we go to the hospital. You don't go to the hospital to hear the doctor tell jokes. I'm just so upset at Bixby. That doctor, he was so serious. Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I'm glad when the doctor's serious. I don't like him joking around. Yeah, you're going to die. you don't go to a hospital to hear the nurse sing. You have a temperature. I'll never go back there again. She missed her notes. Folks, listen to me. That's we go to the hospital to get fixed. You come to church to get the bread and the water. Amen? And that'll fix everything spiritually that you have. You come to the church to get medicine, and that is the Word of God. And the Word of God points us to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread, He is the water, He is the need that we have. He said, I'm come to, that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly, and you get saved, and He has more for you. That's why we come. We come to find out what else He has, and it's all in Him. It's not in anything else. You know, Pastor, what, you know, can you help me? I'm lacking joy. Yeah, I can help you a lot. There's joy in Jesus. Amen. Well, you don't understand. You know, I've been discouraged here lately. All right, I've got the answer. The bread and the water. The answer is always going to be Jesus. You know, is that all you got? What do you mean, is that all I've got? That's everything you need. That's everything you need. Well, couldn't you tell me in a prettier way? Doesn't have anything to do with anything. All that matters is, doesn't matter how it's paid. Look, listen to me. If you're starving and I've got a loaf of bread and it's sitting in a plastic bowl, I mean, is that going to offend you that it's in a plastic bowl? And you say, I'm not going to eat it. It's not in a glass bowl. Huh? I mean, if I have a Tupperware container with water in it and you're dying of thirst and you say, I'll never drink out of a Tupperware container. Perish the thought. See, you say, preacher, that's absolutely ridiculous. I'll tell you what's ridiculous is our needs are being preached Sunday morning, Sunday night, junior church, Sunday school, service after service. We have an old King James Bible. Everybody has one. If you don't, we'll get you one. Everything is there, all that we need, and we just keep looking. We just keep looking. Because we heard somebody say, oh, there's something else out there. There's something else that you know, you're missing out on. All you have is Jesus. Oh, you're missing. Let me tell you, Jesus is all you need. Amen. He is all you need. And again, what a confusing thing that we have it and we keep looking. I never will understand. Verse 2, wherefore do you spend money? Yeah, you picture people out in the market square and they need bread and water and they're poor, but they're spending all they have on things that will not satisfy them. They're spending all their money, everything they have on, here's somebody who's starving and they take their last $20 and buy minutes for their cell phone. You say, preacher, nobody would. I remember one time we were visiting one of our bus routes in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and it was the middle of winter. And, I mean, it was really, really cold. And we went to visit this family, and the first thing I noticed, I said, I saw a power cord going from one house to the other house. I thought, what in the world is going on here? A power cord. And I looked, and it was real dark in the house that we were going into. And so we knocked on the door, and people came to the door, and I thought, I said, I see your power cord. Oh, they said, yeah, our electricity's been shut off. We can't afford electricity, and the neighbors have let us plug into their extension cord there, and it's running in the house. I said, well, really? I said, well, what do you have plugged in? They said, oh, most important. I'm thinking, okay, you know, maybe they have a cooler or something like that. They're trying to keep food cool, or maybe something to cook with, or I couldn't figure it out. And they said, oh, yeah, this is very important. I said, what do you have plugged in? They said, well, we have the TV plugged in. And I thought of this passage right here. You say, preacher, that is absolute. I can't believe. By the way, it was a big family, and they went up. One of the boys went upstairs with a mangy, flea bitten dog, and I said, "Where's he going?" They said, "Oh, he's going to go upstairs to sleep." I said, "Won't he get cold upstairs without any heat?" And they said, "No. The dog sleeps with him." Now, you know, you say that is totally, completely ridiculous, and yet, why do we put forth so much effort into that which does not satisfy? We have the bread. We have the water. Jesus is all of that for us. And that's why, wherefore do you spend, why? What are you doing? And it's not just unsaved people trying to figure this thing out. It's Christians too. So many are striving for joy and happiness, and they just keep spending money in the wrong place. Number three is a compassionate plea. Compassionate plea. Number one is a common need. Number two, a confusing act. Number three, a compassionate plea. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Listen to me. That's what he's saying. Listen to me. Well, maybe they just didn't see the store that had the food. Maybe they didn't know about it. I mean, honestly, in our world today, it's pretty hard, even in the realms of religion, to find anybody that's telling the truth. Somebody say amen. Because it is. I mean, it really is. Everything is feel good. Everything is look good. Everything is be happy. And nobody wants to just say, hey, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. And there is a price that he paid. He hung on a cross to pay for your sin. And see, nobody wants to talk about that because that'll make people feel bad. Oh, I perish the thought. But that's what people need to know. That's what you and I. Do you know why so many Christians are having trouble today? It's because they're not thankful for what Jesus did in dying for their sin, because they just keep sinning. How do you know people aren't thankful? Because they just keep doing the same stuff. Amen. The compassionate plea. Hearken, he said, listen to me. God says, stop. He says, listen. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And only he can satisfy. He said, eat ye that which is good. Reminds me of what I preached to the shepherds a little while ago. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see. Now, you know, Brother Hawkins, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, I think that was kind of a taste to me. But it just was good, and it just kept getting better. Almost said gooder. Not on a Sunday morning, never. But I'm just saying. You know, it just keeps getting better and better and better and better and better. I told them the story. I'll tell you the story. I remember when I was little, I could not stand even look at mushrooms. They just look nasty. I mean, anything that comes out of the ground that's called like a fungus or something, and it looked like that. It had little wrinkly things in it. It kind of bothered me. And I mean, I remember watching my grandma take mushroom, every kind of mushroom. She'd cut them up, slice them real thin. She'd put them in flour, and she'd flatten them out on the frying pan and smash all the water out, and she'd fry them up, and they'd be crispy little mushrooms. And I used to watch her do that, and she'd fill up a big old glass bowl of those mushrooms. And I remember thinking, man, that smells good. Of course, anything fried smells good. I think somebody ought to come up with an air freshener fried. Amen? I think it'd be great. I'm serious. I would. If you come up with that, I'd like to see it. I'll get people to bring me something like that. You know, fried eggs, fried bacon, just fried. Amen? That'd be a great smell. I can see it now. And we'll all gain weight. But Grandma, I mean, she'd make that. And Dad would always have that bowl over on his side every year. He said to my sister and I, now I want you to try a mushroom. I'd say, you know, it's like you just make every kind of face in the world. And there's no way I'm going to try that mushroom. But I always like smelling it. I'd even, it's like some of you that like the smell of coffee, but you don't drink it, you know. You kind of lean in toward it. Would you like a cup? No! Okay, well. And every year, Dad wanted us to try that mushroom, you know. And sure enough, one day, you know, here he is. He's got his big bowl of mushrooms. By the way, when we didn't like the mushrooms, guess who got all the mushrooms? Dad. Oh, and he, you know, he enjoyed it, too. He'd sit there and eat those mushrooms like potato chips. I mean, he'd just wolf them down. And sure enough, one year, he said, now you're going to try a mushroom, all right? I'm telling you, you are going to try a mushroom because you're missing out on this. And I said, no. He said, you're going to try it. I'll give you a piece of candy if you try it. Ding! All right, that always worked. That worked with castor oil. That worked with unique stuff. So sure enough, put a lot of salt on it, and I put that thing in my mouth, and I tried one, and he said, well, what do you think? I said, you know what, I'm going to have to try another one. I tried another one. He said, well, what do you think? I said, you know, I think I need a third one, and I tried a third one. And I've been trying them now ever since then. And Dad, from that time on, in fact, he said, I regret the day that I ever had you taste a mushroom because I hardly ever got any more mushrooms. Now, what did I have to do? I had to taste it. I just had to, all it took was a taste, and I was convinced that is going to meet my need. Amen? And you say, I still don't like them. I understand. That's fine. But I'll tell you what, with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, He will meet your need. I do not understand the Christian that will not have a relationship with Jesus. You get upset when a lost person walks away and says, I don't want him. And yet, in your own life, you got saved, but you've kind of walked away from him. And there's nothing happening. You didn't grow. You didn't get baptized. You don't come to church faithfully. You don't tithe. You don't walk with him. You don't talk to him about your problems. He is the one that can satisfy. Verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. I'm amazed how many folks come to church and they walk in with problems and they walk out with the same problems. And the whole time he said, hey, I am the bread. I am the water. I'll meet your need. Hey, listen. And you think about everything else but him. How sad. How sad. Sure, it's sad when a lost person stays lost. But it's sad when a Christian with problems and trials and confusion and difficulties walks away from the one who can satisfy. Ho, everyone, he says, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. He invites everyone. A fool would walk on. Here, his needs can be met. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's a lost person. But I'll tell you what, there's foolish Christians who have the God of gods as their Savior, but they never have a relationship with that same God. That's amazing to me. Number 4 is the comfortable cost. Comfortable cost. It says without money. You know, our salvation's free to us. It wasn't free. It cost Jesus 39 lashes with a cat of nine tails, beaten with rods, punched with fists, hung on a cross. It cost him. But for you and I, we need nothing for this bread. We need nothing for this water. In fact, your emptiness and your need is the one thing that you have to have. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. That's how you get saved. I love it. I'm thinking of a young man. In fact, I thought sure he'd be here today to get baptized. I said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, what do you have to do to get saved? He said, well, it says call upon the name of the Lord. I said, would you like to do that today? Oh, yeah. It's like, why wouldn't I? Amen? Come on, I mean, you just showed me I'm condemned to hell. Why wouldn't I? You just showed me he loves me. You just showed me that he'll save me. You just showed me I could have eternal life. You just showed me I could go to heaven. Why wouldn't I? And that same salvation that he offers is the salvation that you and I, day in, day out, we need to claim because he has more to give us. Just as salvation is the gift of God, is eternal life, The Bible says that He giveth us richly all things. And we're going to walk out here without Him. And we're going to get in our car, we're going to go to our home just like we were when we got up this morning. And we're going to have the same burden, same trial, same problem, and He giveth us richly all things. Every perfect gift, every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above. Well, I'm just looking for something. You're not looking above. Well, I'm trying to find the answer somewhere. Look up. Look up. Oh, we'll look online. I got to find the answer. We'll look online. We'll look in the Yellow Pages. We'll look in another city. We'll look in another church. We'll look all over the place. God said, just look up. Because every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. Isn't it amazing how we try so many things and only Jesus satisfies? And the cost? Free. I told one boy, one fella, I said, the gift of God is eternal life. You ever get a gift? He said, oh yeah. I said, what's it cost you? It's funny how people have to think about that. Is this a trick? Especially when you're talking to a preacher. No trick. What did it cost you? Well, it didn't cost me anything. Yeah. What'd you have to do to get it? I said, I'm holding the gift. What do you have to do for it to be yours? He said, well, just take it. Why do we make it so complicated? Huh? Why will you walk in with problems and walk out with problems? I don't get it. Yeah, comfortable cost for everybody. For everybody. What do I need, preacher? You need to be thirsty. What do I need? You need to be hungry. That's all. Yeah. Last thing is complete satisfaction. Number one, I said it's a common need. Number two, it's a confusing act, and we saw that. Number three is the compassionate plea, and then number four is the comfortable cost. And we close with a complete satisfaction because the Bible says here, let your soul delight itself in fatness. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Because honestly, once you get saved, there's so much more. I cannot tell you all there is. Psalm 36, verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Who's that? It's God's people. Yeah. And you walk out miserable? I don't get it. You walk out struggling? I don't understand. You're in the store. Look up. He offers. Your need today is Jesus. Your need today is bread. Your need is water. He is both. Will you stop and listen? Will you quit trying your own ways? I remind you, if you're lost, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You can try this and try that and everything else, but understand the invitation that God gives is free to you. It is something you have to receive. It's not something I can force on you. I was talking to one boy and Kathy. I know you ran into this many, many times, and others did as well. But everybody's laughing around him. His friends are making fun. He's looking around and everything. I said, listen. I said, you're not interested in this. You don't want to hear this. I can't make you make this decision. I said, you have to decide this on your own. And you know what? Folks, everybody, a lost person has to decide to be saved, and a Christian has to decide whether they want to be satisfied or not. There is no difference. Christian, you have to decide, do you want to be miserable or do you want to have the joy of the Lord? You say, I'm feeling awful weak. Well, the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm just saying, it is a decision that we have to make. And it's just a matter of saying, God, give me this bread. As the woman at the well said, give me this water. And we have to do that for salvation. If you're lost, you need to do that to be saved. And we have to do that as a Christian to have abundant life. Lord, things aren't so hot. in my life. Give me the water. Lord, things are pretty slim in my life. Could you give me the bread? And he will. He will. Because one thing about God, he never lies. World War II, there was a combat crew that was in a bomber. The bomber was downed over the South Pacific Ocean. And most of those that were in that crew were killed, but five climbed onto a rubber raft and they were wounded, but they were still alive and they were out floating there in the South Pacific on that rubber raft, hoping somebody would come and rescue them. For 12 days, there was no sign of rescue. I mean, they looked out and it was just all they could see was ocean. The sun had scorched them and burnt them and there were no rations. There was no water. Their lips were cracked and they were swelling. And two of the men, after a certain amount of time, they became mad and they literally leaped overboard hoping to somehow save themselves and they drowned. One man, because of his injuries and because of the lack of water and food, he eventually just quietly died. And there were two men left alive. When the rescue vessel came, they found the raft and there was only one man still alive. And that man told the rescuers of the death of the last man. He said this. He said, "The night before you came and rescued us, or rescued me," he said, "it rained." And he said, "I was able to catch a pail of fresh water from the rain that night." And he said, "I was trying so hard to give it to my buddy, but he was dazed and in his unhealthy condition, he thought I was trying to poison him, and he refused to drink the water." And the man said, "I was too weak to force him." And he said, "That man died that night crying for a drink of water. And the water was right within his grasp." I am saddened by all the folks that walk away lost. Sad they walked away from a fair tent, lost. Sad they'll leave junior church, lost. Sad they'll leave our service, lost. Sad they'll walk out of your home, or you'll leave their house and they're lost. How sad that is, that anybody, because the bread and the water that they need is right within their grasp. You ever talk to somebody about the Lord and tell them how to be saved and just say, here's the salvation. It's a gift. What do you do with a gift? You just have to take it, right? Would you like to take it? And you just hold your hand out there. Wouldn't you like to take it? And they'll look at you and they'll go, "No, not today. No, I'll do it another day. I'll do it next week. You know what? I'll go to the church where I grew up and I'll go do it there." And they're... And that's one of the saddest things about soul winning. Because as far as you know, they're lost. But I close with this thought. How many Christians could have abundant, joyful, peace, satisfaction, everything God wants for you? Because he is the bread, he is the water, he is everything that we need. You say, how sad for those lost people to leave. I think it's almost as sad for a Christian to walk out those doors without the bread, without the water, without the relationship with God that you ought to have. Let me just read one more verse here that is in the text. Verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord." There it is. "Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.